Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. Our mission statement, go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. As our acolytes come forward, who are Katie and Bristol, quiet your hearts and prepare for service. The sermon this morning is given by Pastor Lisa Clark, and I am your worship leader, Bobby Frohner. So we'll start out with a praise song found on page 2064, O Lord, You're Beautiful. We'll now do the call to worship, and the congregation will respond in the bold. Gather in worship with silence and sound. We wait upon God's grace. Gathered in worship with focused hearts and mind. We anticipate the time we have.
Let's pray. God of unifying grace, we come distracted by the world. Our minds wander and are filled with thoughts other than You. Our hearts are confused and we are uncertain where we belong. Call us, Lord, to follow You once more. Redeem the night and bless the day that greets us this morning. May Your relentless ways never fail as we strive to live as Your beloved people. Amen and amen.
Our opening hymn will be the Spirit Song found on page 347.
Thank you.
hand if they'll come on up. Do you want me to bring them?
Sure. Oh, thank you so much. Good morning, kids. How are you? Little kids, big kids, young kids, old kids, we're all kids, right? Yeah. Well, I left my atlas in the car that I wanted to bring in. My helpers didn't help me remember, and I need all the help I can get in the morning. But you know what a roadmap looks like, right? Is there anybody that doesn't know what a roadmap looks like? Hollis and I are going to be gone in a couple of weeks for a little bit of a vacation. And so I ordered this map. And I have maps at home. And you've seen road maps. I opened this map up, and I could probably stand up and it would, I'm too short, but it would touch the ground. It was huge. The letters were the tiniest letters that I believe I've ever seen in my life. And there were so many roads on it that it looked like somebody just scribbled all over it. I mean, there were just more than I think I believe I've ever seen on a road map. And it got me to thinking this morning that, you know, our message is going to be about staying on course. There are so many ways we can get off the direct route, isn't there? I mean, just coming from here to, or going back home to KPAC, or KPAC here, or Yale here, there's different roads that you can go on. And my dad used to always be one that said, we're going to go the back way today. Do you know what that means? Maybe you kids don't know, but my dad was always a good one to say, we're going the back way today. And that meant we were going to take twice as long to get wherever we were going because he took all these side roads. And it was fun. And we saw sights that we didn't know we were going to see. And we saw things and experienced things that we didn't even know were out there. And so sometimes when God takes us on those side roads, we think we know where we're going, and we think we're right on course for a certain agenda or a career or an opportunity. And sometimes God takes us somewhere along the side, and we have to wait to get back on that course. It's the same when we forget to pray sometimes, isn't it? When we forget to pray, or when we forget to take time to think about God, just ponder and think about God and all the amazing things he does for us. We can get off course if we forget to do that. And because we have such a loving God, he always holds his hand out and he says, let me help you get back on course. Let me help you to remember how much I love you and how much I want to do for you in your life. How I want to bring you joy, and I want you to bring others joy by telling them about me. So no matter where you go to school, no matter what classroom you're in or what teacher you have, or where you find yourself, maybe at a sporting event in another school, you have opportunities to share the Lord's kindness and to share how happy he makes you with other people, even if it wasn't on your agenda. A lady told us a story this morning in KPAC about heading out on the road, and all of a sudden, the person coming from the other direction crossed the center line, and he hit the car ahead of her, not head on, but he knocked the mirror off, and the mirror went flying over her vehicle, and she said the guy just kept on going. She said, but I just felt like I needed to pull over. So I pulled up behind the man who lost the mirror and who was probably scared to death. And she said, he was so grateful that I took the time to stop. Sometimes God takes us on courses like that. She didn't know she was going to be pulled over on the side of the road. being a comfort to the man ahead of her, who thankfully was not hurt. Nobody was hurt. But what a scary thing. Sometimes even in our scary moments, God has a plan for us to help someone else, doesn't he? And there's always somebody that we can encourage. That's what Jesus does for us, isn't it? He loves us. He encourages us. So no matter where your day takes you, know that you have a job to do, right? To share the good news of Jesus through your kindness, through your love, generosity, and all the things that he equips us with to get back on course and to keep our eyes focused right on him. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us as children to be as mighty of spokesperson as any adult. Lord, help these kids to go out into your world and to share your love and your kindness, your wisdom. And Lord, bless each one of them. Bless their families. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, kids. Thank you. Oh, God, mommy, thank you for waiting on me. Thank you. Yep, perfect. Perfect, perfect.
The Old Testament reading this morning is Jonah 3, 1, 5, and 10. When the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the city, great city of Nineveh, and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
You don't ever have to wait for me to say this, but the altar is always open. Know that if I forget to say that the altar is always open. Sometimes we feel like intercessory prayer on behalf of somebody else just means something to us when we come to the altar. Sometimes we feel like in the car coming home that it's just as effective, or in the pew. But here in God's house, just know that you don't have to wait for my invitation to kneel and pray at the altar. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Holy One, you've called us from the seashore to service in this world. You've pulled us from our comfort to embrace the inconvenience of servanthood. You've put before us an opportunity that we never truly wanted. But like Jonah, who resented going where you sent him, we are restless and resistant. Some days we'd just rather sleep in a boat and go about a casual kind of life. We'd rather live our days as we always have and let the tides carry us where they will. May the storms of our days shake us today, Lord, to a new awareness and new paths of faithful living. We are grateful for your presence here today in this place, Lord. And somehow when temperatures or weather keep us away, Lord, we just have this renewed feeling of your amazing presence. Your Holy Spirit that's here with us And I pray can be felt with those that are listening from afar. Lord, your Holy Spirit is ever present with us. You guide our paths. And even on the days that we don't listen well, even on the days that we feel that we know our own way, you teach us and show us that your plan is best. And so, Lord, we ask today that you would minister to us through the scriptures, through the words, Lord, that you help resonate in our minds. And in turn, Lord, may our worship come back to you pleasing as a beautiful incense before your throne of grace today. Let all that we do in this place during this span of time, Lord, be pleasing to your sight, sound, to your ears, to your senses. May we know you, Lord, more and deeper and stronger when we leave today than when we came in. May your words make their foundation in our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for hearing every single petition, every single prayer need, all of the unspoken requests this morning, all the verbalized requests this morning. You have heard them, Lord. And we know that you will answer. Lord, bless our ministries here. Bless our work in this world, that we may go about the course that you take us on. And may you be blessed in all of it. In the name of Jesus, who called his disciples and taught them to pray this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. And our choir anthem today is Precious Lord, Take My Hand, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr.
Thank you. Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. Our New Testament reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, the very first chapter, reading verses 14 through 20. Mark chapter 1, 14 through 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them and said, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Well, just as I talked to the children about this morning, staying on course is not an easy task. There have been many occasions when Hollis and I have been on vacation that we have typed in an address into our GPS, the system that we used to have anyway. And when we got to the point when the GPS said, "You have reached your destination," we clearly had not reached our destination because there was nothing there that we were going to. The building or the location was an empty parking lot in one case. Clearly, we laughed at the moment. Sometimes you don't laugh because sometimes you're in a hurry. But and then you kind of get your act together. You get your bearings, and maybe you stop and ask directions, but your goal is to get back and to stay on course to your destination. Now, as I shared with you a few minutes ago, the lady that from KPAC this morning that had that experience, I know that when she started out, she had no intention of thinking for any moment of time that she would be pulled over on the side of the road comforting someone in another vehicle who had just probably saw their life flash before their eyes when you see a vehicle coming head-on towards you. She had no idea that was going to be part of her day. I'm sure a lot of you in this room have had days like that, where your day just seemed to not be on the course that you had planned. Sometimes we get off course in our lives for other reasons as well. Sometimes our spiritual journey kind of falls along the wayside. Maybe we've had something tragic happen within our family or home. Maybe we've had some distractions at work. Lots of things happen in our life that cause us to change even some of the best habits that we have, staying on course with Christ. I'm pretty sure when I was somewhere 14 and up, I started working when I was 14 years old, and I had many careers since then. Never really knew what I was headed toward for a long time, until after maybe I was out of high school even. And these days, they kind of start grooming you earlier, I think, and start helping you to think about your course in life and where all of that that leads up to it is going to steer you towards. all of that training and all of that knowledge and all of the gifts that God has given you. You start talking about that and thinking about that. Where is God leading me? And just like I shared about the roadmap this morning, I am not kidding you. I'm going to bring that roadmap one of these days when I actually remember it. I have never seen so many lines on a map in my life. To the point I can't even read the names next to it because there's so many roads. Life is like that. So many roads. So many paths we can take. And sometimes you just get off going way over here and you get so far from that main road, that main thoroughfare, that main expressway. But the Lord has to kind of shake us up sometimes and tell us to rethink. This morning, I want you to think anew, because I know I'm preaching to the choir. You've already thought about this before. But I want you to think about it anew this morning. Who is Jesus? And what are Jesus' disciples meant to be like? Who is Jesus and what are his disciples meant to be like? One of the things that astounded my friend from KPAC was how many vehicles just kept on going, including the one that did the damage. Just kept on going. Cars whizzing here and there and everywhere. Mike sees that all the time, I'm sure. Many of us see that all the time, don't we? People are going about their business and they're not paying attention to anybody or anything. Is that what Jesus' disciples are meant to be like? You know, Bobby read about Jonah and Nineveh. I don't know if I'd have been bold enough to say, Lord, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. But sometimes subconsciously we say that, don't we? Oh, not doing that. That's somebody else's job. I'm sure they're much better equipped at that than I am. Jonah did say, Lord, mm-mm. And can you imagine a town that took 3 days to get through? I don't know if I've heard that story so many times, and I don't know if I ever picked up on that before. 3 days. To get through Nineveh. That's a lot of people, isn't it? That's a lot of experiences and places to encounter. And up until then, I think there was not so very nice things said about the things of Nineveh or the people of Nineveh. And he said, I don't know what had been going on in Jonah's life. We don't know, you know, what had been going on, but maybe he was tired. Maybe he was exhausted. Maybe he had already gone through some really bad experiences, and he just thought, I'm not doing that again. I'm not going there again. Sometimes we can just keep saying no to the Lord, and he says, oh, but we're going to take this little side trip. We're just taking a little side trip. We're taking one of those little tiny light lines off the beaten path because I have something I need to have you do that nobody else can do. And so we go to our gospel reading in Mark today. And Jesus says, I'm starting my public ministry now, but I can't do it on my own. I need people. I need people. I need hands. I need feet. I need people that are willing to obey and not always just question, but obey what God is asking us to get accomplished here. I don't know I don't know. That's maybe a question I would ask someday. I don't know if Jesus knew how short his ministry was actually going to be. 3 years. 3 years. I'm on my second year here, and I can't imagine only having 3 years to do everything in the whole wide world that Jesus knew needed to be done in 3 years. But Jesus was on course. And I believe there's a time that he says to us, quit wasting time. We don't know how many years we have or days we have. Don't always be distracted by the detours of the world, but yet if you get on a detour, use it to bring glory to my name. Use it to share the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody that just needs some compassion at that moment. Jesus is launching his public ministry right after John's been arrested now and he's been handed over. But one thing that stands loud here, that speaks volumes, is they needed, the disciples and Jesus, they needed courage to stay on course, just as we do. We need courage to do the right thing. We need courage to continue coming back when we feel like we've ventured off or strayed off for one reason or another. Most of the time, really good reasons. Nevertheless, Jesus says, I need you back here. I need you back over here. Let's get back on course. Or I need you there today. I need you on the side of the road. I need you to give a good word where a good word needs to be. You know, I didn't share this in KPAC this morning, but our adopted grandson, Isaiah, he's had a challenging life with no parents being involved in it. And he's been in foster homes. He's been adopted by another family and came to live with us almost 2 years ago now. And he struggles with his understanding of the Lord. The other night, he went with his friend to a friend's grandma's house, okay? And he went into this grandma's house, and he said, he was started texting me, I don't feel comfortable. There's something crazy in this place. He said, I'm getting chills up the back of my neck, and I just feel like there's something wrong here. She's talking about stuff. I think it's about the Bible. I don't know if it's stuff you know about or not, Grandma. And I said, okay. He said, but I don't like it here. And I used you for an excuse and said, Grandma's hollering at me to get home. I said, you use that excuse any old time you want to use it if you need to get out of a situation. Grandma's an ugly grandma today and she needs you home. That's okay. Oh my goodness. So I text him back and I said, I'm praying for you right now. He said, I just feel like there's something evil here. And I said, I'm praying for you right now. Just get back home. Porch lights on. You're safe inside this house. And this was so very real to him. And even though he has not been brought up in a home that had much biblical influence, wasn't raised in the church, only when he would be with us on weekends and he would come. But he knew what was not right, because I believe the Lord's been with him since day one. When he was an infant, he was brought to the altar. I prayed over that child that God would protect him through his life. And even when we get off course and we wander away, and our faith wanes a little bit, we don't completely understand what the Lord is saying to us, or why we're on the path we're on, I believe that he coaxes us home when we need home. I believe that he puts up those red flags so we can say, this is not an okay situation. I need to remove myself from it or pray through it. And we had a long talk about this whole situation the next day. But he said, I can't explain it. I just knew it wasn't right, what she was saying. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that or not. If you've been in a place where you just had the sense that it wasn't okay. And they always say, when you get those red flags, listen to them. Pay attention to them. My point being that I think of that main thoroughfare. Think of I-69 or one of those main thoroughfares that go through the state of Michigan, and I-94, whatever the case might be, I-75, whatever the case. And we've gotten off on a beaten path. And I think I shared with you weeks ago, we were hooked up to the GPS going to my course of study school several years back, and we were in West Virginia, and my GPS, the GPS of the lady that was driving, the road kept getting narrower and narrower and narrower, and pretty soon there were two tire tracks leading into a farmer's barn. I'm not kidding you. We saw children pulling back the curtains in the house, looking out like, oh, we haven't had a neighbor or a visitor in years. We had no idea, and it's like, oh my goodness, we can't back up down this road because we're right down a mountain cliff. And we're thinking, oh, led astray again by the GPS. Led astray again. Easy to get led astray in the life of temptation and all the things that we have that want to steer us away from the path that God wants us on. So much that tempts us away. The Lord is saying to us today, I want you to stay on course, and if I take you on a little side trip, then trust me to get you through. If your life seems to be going off on a dirt road, then make sure that you are in my presence. Make sure that you've stayed free with that communication with me. Because when we stay in God's presence, we're likely to receive the guidance and direction that we really need to stay on course. And another way that we can remember this is to stay surrounded by other believers. It helps us to stay accountable, to provide support when they need it and when you need it, both ways. Serving others can help us stay focused on what's important and give us that sense of purpose, knowing that we are in God's focus. We keep our eyes focused on Him. Relying on the Holy Spirit helps us get back in the course that we need to be on. The Lord is never going to let us wander so far away that He can't draw us back. But it has to be our choice sometimes. Just like turning off that GPS and saying, okay, we got to rethink this. This did not work out well. We We got to rethink this. We got to refocus that. Who is Jesus in my life? So today, even though you've known who Jesus is for maybe some of you your whole entire life, who is he to you today? And what are his disciples meant to be like? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that through the storms of life, through the challenges, and even through the steps that you guide us through, sometimes it's not the course that we had imagined. But you never let us wander so far away from you that we don't get on the course that is correct for us, different for all of us. Lord, keep us focused and centered, listening for your voice alone, staying in tune with you, Lord. We pray that you will minister to our hearts today and help us to rethink and rethink over again what Jesus' disciples are meant to be, even thinking of Jonah today as he finally carried out the task. And Nineveh was blessed because of it. Lord, may you bless each one here today in their lives, in their work, in their ministries. Help them to focus on that course ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. We can have our ushers at this time for our morning offering of gifts and tithes. Lord, may you bless our gifts this morning. May our offering be a path to holy living and action. May our very lives reflect the truth of our faith and our commitment in your world. With generous hearts, we pray these things. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Let's sing that through twice. benediction this morning is responsive. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God unfolds throughout our lives. Go, redeemed and blessed, for you are never alone. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie in closing today. Have a blessed week and stay warm, stay safe, stay in God's embrace.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing, hallelujah. Your throne, and she cut your hair.